Across a continent in West Africa, an example where an election led to peaceful change. I'm talking about Nigeria. Just 2 years ago, voters there ousted an incumbent president at the ballot box for the first time since independence. The country's defeated leader graciously stepped aside. It was a watershed for Africa's biggest democracy and most populous country. Chude Jidonwo was a media consultant for the winning candidate, President Muhammadu Buhari. I asked him for his takeaway from that experience.
The thing we've learned is that cabals, dictatorships, are made up of human beings. They're not spirits. They are not more powerful than any human being is. And as long as they're made up of human beings can always bring down other human beings. That's the lesson that I learned in those elections. It looked like it was impossible. The ruling party, like I said, had been there for 16 years. An opposition party had never won a presidential election in Nigeria in its 50-plus years of democratic evolution and since independence. And so there was no hope, even in those of us who were working in the camp. I mean, there was hope, but there was faith, but there was no hope, if I can use those two terms, that he would win. And having him win, despite all the things that were thrown at him by the government, including postponing the elections, you know, to torpedo kind of his momentum, reminded me that there is no force in the world more powerful than an inspired, empowered human being.
How old is Buhari?
Too old, it turns out.
Well, I mean,
he's about 73, 74 now.
Africa has, which is, you know, not too far from Donald Trump.
But yeah, I mean, and Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton.
Right,
and
exactly.
Joe Biden.
So what's going on there? Because Africa, we're talking about Africa, it has the youngest population in the world, and it continues to vote these old men into power. What's going on?
We have no choice. No, we have no choice. Democracy is not a search for the ideal. At the base of a democracy is a decision between choices. Yeah? And often, because of the way that our societies have evolved since independence, our democracies are not level playing fields yet. And so often, societies have to choose to negotiate until they kind of get to a place where they get the ideal candidates that they need. It's like Zimbabwe. Mnangagwa, or as they call him, the crocodile, is not...
The former vice president,
yes,
was
exactly.
Told, no, you're not going to succeed.
Yes. He's by no chance a savior for any group of reasonable people anywhere in the world. He's not anybody's first choice to lead any sane, civilized, modern country. But Zimbabweans are looking at him in comparison with Mugabe.
So lesser of two evils.
So it's a lesser of two evils, which kind of was what democracy turns into sometime.
We saw how social media was really crucial in the Arab Spring back in 2011.
Yeah.
Working for Muhammadu Buhari as the kind of media coordinator, what did you learn about social media and how that's changing the African election political landscape?
I learned that in spaces where social media is ubiquitous, it's the most powerful tool to define narratives. You know, the narrative of Buhari as this kind of fresh face, democratic ideal, gained currency on social media.
How do you think it's going to be used and maybe even have a new face or role in the next Nigerian election?
Well, of course, its influence is going to grow even more. And so we're going to have a very robust debate. It's going to be a very cynical debate, sadly, but perhaps that's inevitable. But now we're going to have a flourishing of multiple voices. Politicians are going to be more deeply interrogated on social media. No promises will be taken for granted.
So you're now in the U.S. for a couple of months at Yale as a fellow. Do you see the political atmosphere in the U.S. differently from the way you've been kind of reading it? How does it or does not match your expectations?
Well, it's been shocking how more toxic the political environment is here than I thought. I
mean, Give me one example.
The politics is personal in a way that makes dialogue impossible. That makes consensus impossible. People take a person's political choices as a definition of the person's character, of the person's values, of whether the person is a good person or a bad person. I found that deeply toxic and depressing. So that's on the one hand. The second hand, I found out how despairing, I'm not sure which is the right word, activists and liberals have been since the elections. You know, rather than being fired up, especially those who are younger, those who kind of came into their own under Barack Obama, I think they became used to victory and didn't know that, well, democracy is about losing and nobody wins any big victories in the world without losing a few times. That's not how civil rights was won. That's not how universal healthcare was won. If I know a bit about American history, And so this despair, this almost entitlement-driven despair, like, you know, Trump won, we're giving up on America, it's such a terrible country, nothing is good about America, we are awful people. I find it deeply distorted.
So what is your prescription for those despairing people on the left?
To keep showing up. You know, first, many countries, including mine, depend on both the electoral and the cultural consensus in America. That should not be ideal, but that's what it is. Many of these countries are aligned with the international liberal consensus, of which America is supposed to be a flag bearer, of course, before Trump and his Secretary of State. And so he's cut down contributions to international health aid by almost 27%, cut down support for PEPFAR, which is
the HIV/AIDS program.
Yes, yeah. HIV/AIDS programs in my country, for instance, by almost 14%. And so these things have real-life consequences. The tax cuts, the GOP tax cuts, are going to affect Nigerian and African cultural doctoral researchers in America. So it's to my benefit to tell them that you have to keep showing up. You have to keep notching up small wins. And even if you lose big wins, that is how societies change.
So one last, and it's a very random sounding question, Chude, has to do with the story we've got coming up next. Right. What, if anything, do you know about stockfish?
Stockfish?
Yeah, from Norway.
I only know the stockfish we do in Nigeria. We use stockfish in soups. Mm. And not soups like you call them in America here, like real thick soups. And so there's a contrast between the kind of wetness of the soup and the kind of thickness of the stockfish. And it's full in your
almost
mouth.
Almost dry.
Yeah. But certainly full. Thank you for that. I'm going to find stockfish in New York.
You'll find it in New York.
I'll find it in New York.
Chude Jidunwo, a Nigerian lawyer, journalist, and media entrepreneur based in Lagos, Nigeria. His new book is called How to Win Elections in Africa, Parallels with Donald Trump. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.